Hi everyone, and welcome to the Academy podcast, where we talk all things digital and e-learning. I'm Sam and I work in the Academy team, and today we're joined by Marla Baird, Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Manager from the People, Reward and Equality team, and we will be discussing the importance of equality, diversity and inclusion in the workplace, why completing the online training is necessary, and why equality data matters. Hi Marla, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Hi there, thanks for having me today.
No worries at all. So first off, I'd just like to ask, why is equality, diversity and inclusion so important?
Thanks, Sam. And that's a really, really important question. So equality, diversity and inclusion, and it might mean different things to different people. But for me, it's really important because it provides a level playing field. It provides fairness for staff. It means that in terms of the workplace, that staff can bring their authentic selves to work, and it creates that sense of belonging. And if you don't have that sense of belonging at work, it might be that you would leave the organisation, or you wouldn't be as productive or motivated even in your work, or happy. And that's really important. So I think in terms of equality, diversity and inclusion, it means that we can celebrate differences. We can learn from one another, and there's real strength in being part of an organisation that have got different types of people and learning from them. And I think equality, diversity, inclusion can really feed into that and support that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's nice to see the SQA champion that with the various roles across the organisation that
absolutely
is focused on it. We worked together to create some training on the Academy that went out recently. Why would you say it's important for colleagues to go in and look at this and complete it?
In terms of the training, so the EDI training, it provides a foundation so that we're all starting from the same place. It gives an overview of what is equality and diversity and inclusion. What does that mean? So that people can get and even see, well, what does that mean? What is discrimination? What are the different types of discrimination? And it helps set, we mentioned that kind of level playing field where we've all got like a similar understanding. So it supports that understanding so that staff within the organisation have got the same values, behaviours and attitudes that you really want to see in an inclusive organisation. So it's really important that all staff complete and go through that training so that they have got that awareness. It's really, really beneficial to them, because some people with the best intentions might not know when their attitude might be seen as discriminatory, and I think it gives... Yeah. It gives staff that reassurance as well. So it can be a real benefit in that way as well, because people have said to me, oh, Marla, I don't know, is this the right thing to say or do or whatever? So I think it's a real benefit for staff in terms of providing that reassurance and confidence in that area, and to set that the culture within the organisation.
Definitely. I found kind of going through the content and working with it, the interesting parts were even just reading scenarios and kind of learning different types of discrimination and behaviours that could fall under, that could have legal implications. So it's really interesting just to know
absolutely
kind of the level it can go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helps provide that. And it also gives you a bit of an overview in terms of what's happening within SQA. How are we progressing equality, diversity, and inclusion as well? So it gives a kind of real kind of rounded view for staff, or a stepping off point for staff. Obviously, that's our first module, and there's going to be other modules that will give a bit more detail. But if staff start from this place, we've got a really, really good foundation to progress from there.
Exactly. In addition to the equality and diversity and inclusion training that's out there, I've noticed you've also been running a campaign, Data Matters, that's encouraging colleagues to complete or update their equality data in business world.
What would you say are the benefits of colleagues doing this, and how are you and your team using the data to make positive change for SQA?
Thanks for asking that question, Sam. So as you say, we've got a Data Matters campaign that's running at the moment, and probably that'll be like an annual thing that we will run, so that we keep encouraging staff to update their diversity data. I think there's greater understanding among staff in terms of how we use it, and that we do keep the data confidential. Because I think in previous years, some staff said, why do I need to update that? Why do you need to know that? So we've worked really, really hard to make sure that staff know how that data is used. And it's used in a number of ways. And we don't look at individuals, we look at groups of people. So we look at the protected mm-hmm. characteristics. And we look at the groups, and we look to see, is there any, it can highlight barriers or inequality within particular groups. So for example, we use it to look at the pay gap information. So we look at pay gaps between men and women. We look at pay gaps in relation to sexual orientation. We also look at disability pay gaps and ethnic minority pay gaps as well. So we look to see what does that tell us, and what does that reveal, and does it reveal any inequality, or do we need to do deeper dives into things to find out more? So the data is like part of the story, but it's an important part. Other ways that we might use the data, we look at things like who we're recruiting, who's getting shortlisted, who's getting a job within SQA, so who are we hiring? We also look at who's been promoted, what groups are being mm-hmm. promoted, and again that can reveal any kind of disparities or inequality there. But more importantly, we also look at things like how does it challenge gender stereotypes, how does it then reveal kind of unconscious bias within the organisation. So it's a really, really valuable and important tool. And I think to say to staff, if any staff are listening to this, it's just to say that information is really, really confidential. Mm-hmm. We don't look at individual staff. We don't look at individual staff names. We look at groups and we analyse by those protected characteristic groups. But it can reveal a lot. So staff can be really, really instrumental in supporting the organisation to progress equality and tackle any inequality. So it's really important that staff are aware about how that data is used.
Yeah, and I think that's a positive message, that we can all play a role in supporting equality, and it may be for some of us that are not directly in the types of roles like you and your team can take that, I'm assuming 5 minutes maybe?
Yeah, it could be as little as 5 minutes. And I think previously some staff have ticked, for example, prefer not to say. Mm-hmm. Well, that information is personal to me, and I don't want to reveal that information. And that's, and it's voluntary if staff want to complete that data or not, and that's fine. But as long as staff are aware, then we then kind of see what's the true picture of how many staff we've got who, for example, might have a disability or a mm-hmm. particular protected characteristic. So I would just encourage staff to be confident in terms of how their data has been used and how we're handling that, and that we do use it to advance equality.
Yep, exactly. So someone could help themselves by doing it as well as helping others.
Absolutely, yes.
Last year you shared an ED&I wellbeing calendar. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So we created an EDI and a wellbeing calendar. We did that in collaboration with other equality colleagues and also the community networks. So the aim or the purpose behind the calendar is to demonstrate like a visible and supportive role, so that we can respect and celebrate diverse communities, cultures, and faiths. So some of the ways that we thought the calendar might be used, so we thought it would promote equality, diversity, inclusion in a kind of planned and visible way, also supportive of the networks in terms of some of the events and dates that they celebrate. So that's all included in the calendar. And also to contribute to that, fostering an inclusive environment within SQA. In relation to the kind of well-being, we're looking to encourage kind of positive mental health and well-being, mm-hmm. And also that sense of belonging. And we think the calendar contributes to that, because you can see a whole range of campaigns, events, activities. You can get in there and look at the different faith dates as well. We focus mainly on the six major kind of world faiths, but we recognise obviously there's a range of different faiths out there, but we think it can be used in a range of ways, and really to encourage people just to go in and look at it, and they'll see that on the HREDI intranet page.
Amazing. I definitely think, as someone that's been involved in a few networks and also supported from a comms point of view as well, it's really nice to just have that visibility on a corporate level and link into the campaigns that are done, which I think as an organisation we do really well of covering a lot of different topics and awareness dates and religious festivals to celebrate our diversity. So I think it's nice to see that consolidated and available for everyone to kind of take notice of and learn a bit more about.
Yes, thanks Sam, and hopefully staff will go in and have a look at that, and it will provide that just that visible kind of view of EDI. And again, just to raise awareness of equality, diversity and inclusion.
Definitely. So what would you say are the benefits and potential barriers for equality, diversity and inclusion in the digital space, given that that's how we work and, you know, the world's kind of fastly moving in that direction of embracing digital and so much is online now?
Yeah, I think it's really, really opened up the world, hasn't it, in terms of the networks and partnerships that that you can have. So you can have a meeting online with somebody who is in a different country. And a couple of years ago, who would have thought that was even possible? So I think, obviously, coming through the pandemic, things that we thought were years in the future are here and now, aren't they? And and we're trying to embrace that and look to see how can we design things so that they work in the digital space. Because it's not as easy as just transferring something that works in person for the digital space. So I think it's really, really opened up the world in terms of the partnerships that we can have and who we can learn from. But also in relation to accessibility. So if for any reason that you can't kind of travel or meet somebody in person, it means that you've got another option and you can meet somebody online. And what I've found as well, like even for me, having a team where some people are based in Edinburgh, some people are based in Glasgow, and it means that you've still got that sense of team that you can meet, do you know what I mean, on a daily basis, and we can keep in touch. And I think that's a real benefit for me. And obviously there's other equality people within SQA, and it means that I can really, really easily meet and access them as well. But for other staff, I know that other staff have mentioned that there's greater engagement with some of the virtual sessions that are there. And also in relation to, I suppose, like providing that fairness. So if you're using a screen reader, the technology's all catching up with that in terms of making sure that people can access that digital space as well as the in-person space. So I think there's real benefits to promoting and encouraging that way of working. That said, I know that human interaction is still needed. I think there are benefits, but there are also things where you maybe kind of read somebody's body language the same, or and I know sometimes that in some of the meetings that you might have, you're not getting the same chat that you might have had before or after a meeting and things like that. So there are real benefits to it, but I think that's caveated with we still need that human interaction as well, but you can see that this is just going to grow, isn't it, in terms of the digital space and what's possible So yeah, that's what I'd say about that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's definitely still a land of pros and cons. There's still things we need to catch up with and really fully kind of iron out in terms of digital accessibility, whether that's just people interacting on their own and making sure that screen readers, we're thinking about people that have these needs and tailoring our outputs to ensure that they're also included and have a smoother kind of experience as someone who maybe doesn't need those additional support mechanisms to access things digitally. But even from like a hybrid point of view, I've seen we've been able to include more people that may not be able to come into the office through doing our online or online and in-person events. Yeah. I've seen those work pretty successfully to ensure that, you know, they're not without some of their challenges trying to include everyone in the same way, but it still allows people to be included rather than being completely offline while other people can meet in person. So yeah, I would agree that there's definitely a lot of benefits that, especially on the inclusion point of view, and I think it can only improve as we dedicate more time to it and embrace the fact that hybrid is the way forward.
And you're absolutely right that it provides another option, doesn't it? Where mm-hmm. a few years ago that option probably wasn't available, and you're looking at mm-hmm. how do you remove barriers in the physical spaces, but now we're looking at how do we remove any kind of accessibility barriers in the digital space as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's really growing, and I think it's having another option that's really really yep. valuable, isn't it?
Yeah, there's more in our toolbox
well said, Sam. Yeah.
Supporting people. Before we wrap up, if there's anything that you could make sure the listener took away from this conversation, what would you want that to be, that one thing?
That one thing for me is, I suppose, to leave staff with a message, or leave anybody who's listening to this with a message that one person can make a difference. If you go about your day and you are kind to people, for example, that can make a difference. So I think that's the message that I would leave them with, that that they can be that difference. So don't think that it's often the kind of small acts that can make big changes. So don't think because yep. you're just one person that you can't make a difference. You can. So be that difference. That's where I would. That's my kind of message that I would leave everybody with today.
That's a lovely message to end on, and I would echo that. We never know what anyone's going through, so yeah, always lead with kindness and give everyone the benefit of the doubt and just have that positivity.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for your time today, and thank you to listeners for tuning in to this episode. You can find all our episodes on the podcast section of the Academy site. And if you'd like to get involved, just please get in touch. And until then, enjoy listening while you work. Thank you.